Lord, we just thank you for helping us through this class and thanking you for being with us on this journey. And Lord, just because you're head and you see and comprehend what we don't in eternity, only you can really carry us forth and usher us in to the risen Son that we now are one with, and the awe of it, the wonder of it, the glory of it, the life that rejuvenates and resurrects and fills us, Lord. There's nothing that can compare to that. Lord, it's not just that we become disciples that have something that's right now or in tune with the heavens, but we have life, heaven's life, the life of the Son that is risen on high. And God, that's what we need. In every area, that's what we need. And so that's why we've dedicated ourselves to a journey led by God himself, filled with the Holy Spirit who leads us into life, that we might truly enter in to what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. And so, Lord, our classes are coming down now to the end, and yet this journey will continue on until you fill all things, Lord, and you have possessed your own body and bride by life. So continue just to speak what is needful to the hearts that are listening, to make this life, Lord, and not, oh, just a neat class with great truths, but or even a boring class with okay truths. Just, Lord, let the Spirit of God resonate in our inner man, not just bearing witness, but opening the eyes of our hearts that Christ himself might find residence here. And we pray these things because we are one with Jesus, so we say in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we have two more classes left, this class and another class. So, and I believe that that's a good thing because we're getting towards, I believe, the end of what God has for us in this season. Of course, we missed Robert. He was here with us in heart the whole time. Yeah, he's a blessing. You all are a blessing. Even the people listening and watching. You're in our hearts. We feel you there by the Lord's heart. So I'm going to read something from page 77 and to the students here, because the next class is our last class. Have your workbooks filled out and just answer all the questions. Have them all answered in your book with your pen. And then you'll pass this class. Yes, it's that easy. This too can be yours. All right. So just fill out your notebooks. But I'm going to read just a few things here, and then I'm going to share a little bit. It's going to be fun. We are going to talk about how to get in the Word of God. Now, this is called The Necessity of the Scriptures and Searching the Scriptures, and we are using this as part of our Emmaus Road class, because remember when Jesus first came up to the boys on their little journey, he expounded to them all the books of Moses and the prophets and show them himself in those Old Testament scriptures. So part of this journey into knowing Christ as our life in resurrection, awe and wonder and glory, part of that journey is getting in the Word of God, but in a specific way, with a specific heart. And so we want to look at that a little bit, because we want to, once these classes are done, continue on this journey. And it's real, man. It's not a class. This is an eternal journey set forth in God's heart by his Spirit. He's going to meet you on the Emmaus Road if you stay on it. If you commit your heart to not getting off this journey until you end up filled with the resurrected Son, broken bread and poured out wine, hallelujah. And he's going to stay with you. And every time he starts walking away, you know, like he did with those two boys on the Emmaus Road, you stop him and say, hey, where are you going? Don't leave. You know, constrain him to stay. Let him know you are serious, that you're not going to stop till you get life. No, sir. No, Jesus. Let him know he's wanted. That you like, you want him all the way through seeing him in the scriptures, all the way through knowing him in the breaking of the bread, into the intimacy of the communion of his shared life, filling his members, the members of his risen body. Let him know that he's not the only one interested in having the body of his resurrection fulfilled in the life and the fullness of who he is. Let him know that you're in too. He loves that. Boy, oh boy, you're going to get his heart. You're going to get his attention. Just let him know you're with him. And then stay the course by God's grace Let him bring you back on when you stray, and we will see the glory of God. If we continue, we will see as we believe in this resurrected Christ and his cross. So in page 77 of the Emmaus Road book, under the title, Searching the Scriptures, I will read briefly. Jesus said in John 5, 39 through 40, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life." Part of the process of fully coming to Jesus involves a coming unto him as he is revealed throughout the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. In the above-mentioned verses, Jesus pointed out that the people of God at that time did not search the scriptures in the correct manner, but they went after the scriptures for reasons other than to see Jesus and have his life. The same may be true today. Many spend time searching for right theology, spiritual comfort, tests to prove their point, or teaching on some Bible subject. To others, the Bible is to be read for its practical wisdom. However, it should be searched with the purpose of finding Christ. All these ventures into the scriptures can be accomplished without having the one unveiled of whom the scriptures are meant to reveal, to testify of. Thank God the believers of the first church knew and understood the true purpose of the Bible. In these verses, Jesus makes it plain that searching the scriptures is to be motivated by a desire to see him unveiled there. We are not simply seeking to learn correct doctrine, but coming to him there in the scriptures that we might have life. Okay, let's just stop there and go to my own personal notes here. And in this chapter, in the chapter that was before this, it does do a little reference to John chapter 9 and some different things in relationships to having our eyes opened. But I am going to just lay out something here that is meant to ignite your heart or touch your heart in a certain way where you will approach the Word of God with eternity in your heart. Amen? So let's just do a little search here. And Holy Spirit, just guide our path, because we could go for a long time with my notes, but we only want to go where he wants us to go. So he's going to guide us. But real closely, just listen to these elements. You don't have to look them up because it will take too much time. But in Genesis chapter 1, we have in the beginning. Okay? And Genesis chapter 1 is our beginning. John chapter 1 is God's beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That beginning in John is God. This beginning in Genesis is us. And what is our beginning? Our beginning is that we have an unformed earth that has darkness upon the face of its deep. Okay? What does the Bible call us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7? Do, do. Do 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 do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. What does the Bible call us? Do 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 do. Close. Do 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 do. Okay, I'm going to answer that for you. Nobody gets the free trip to Hawaii. Earthen vessels. I cannot give you the prize, but I yes, earthen vessels. Okay, so our beginning as the earthen vessels is that we are empty, void of life, because darkness is upon the face of the deep. It is unformed. Y'all know that scripture in Genesis, right? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. In John chapter 1, we have God's beginning, and in God's beginning, we have in the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just stay there for about 10 years. Just stay in that one sentence. In the beginning was the Word. And just let the Holy Spirit take you into God's beginning and into God's Word that was before time and space and ink and paper and sermons and teachings and letters and manuals. Wouldn't you love to go there? To God's beginning, in the beginning where the Word was? You know you can. Do you know how? by the Holy Spirit. He takes you there. He takes you to the deep things of God. Yes, the things eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, and hearts cannot comprehend. In the beginning was the Word. Woo! Wait, that's not my Bible. In the beginning wasn't the Bible. Moses hadn't even written the Pentateuch yet. In the beginning wasn't sermons or Sunday school lessons. Humans weren't even made yet. In the beginning was the Word that was an eternal person. Hallelujah. Spirit and life. And that Word was with. Now just take another 10 years on the word with. With God. The Word was in the beginning, and that Word was with God. Whew. That's a word there. The Word that was with. You know, I used to just walk up in the hills in Pennsylvania by my parents' house. I'll tell y'all a story. I just decided that that sentence was so eternal. It just needed to be given a whole amount of time just to ponder. You know what I mean? Just to savor and to roll around in my spirit. So it's a Christmas break from Bible school. I'm walking up in the hills behind my parents' house up in Pennsylvania, and it's just beautiful out there, and meditating on this Word that was with God and was God in the beginning, before time and space. And you know, just the wonder of what that Word was to the Father's heart, what that Word was, because it was God. It was a Word beyond words, a Word beyond translations and human understanding, the Word which is Christ and God and the fullness of their person. Hallelujah, the Logos of God, the express likeness of his person, the fullness of who he is. And this old man with a beard and a trench coat, no one was outside, but this old guy's walking out to get his newspaper or something right as I'm, you know, passing by. And I just struck up a little conversation with him. I forget how it went, but we were chatting, and I said, he said, "Oh, what's that?" I said, "It's my little Bible. I'm just reading the Gospel of John." And he said, "Oh, well, I'm a Bible scholar, and I have written my own translation of the Gospel of John." And he went in his house and got it out and gave it to me. And he had this Greek translation that he had written on the Gospel of John, put it in my little hand. And I opened that thing up and just started walking a little more. And oh, glory. He had, like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God on the side of God, from the side. I mean, he had just different aspects of the Greek that the Holy Spirit used. And it wasn't the Greek or the translation. It was just that the heart of the Lord was saying, continue to seek me, to seek to know the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that man hadn't defiled with his own understandings yet, right? The Word that hadn't been touched by religion. The Word that hadn't been condensed into teachings for humans. The Word that was pure, unadulterated God himself. We call that Word the Son. Oh, that's what the Gospel of John calls him all the way through, from beginning to end. The Son. The Word that walked among us and dwelt among us, that was sent from the Father, was his Son. Oh, so this Son is that eternal Word made flesh. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just wonderful? Oh boy, knowing him goes way beyond the teaching, doesn't it? And the book. You have to go back where he started, in the beginning, in God's beginning. So we have God's beginning, that's just this Son, that's just eternity's life with the Father, in life, in communion, in oneness. The Word was God, in oneness, right? And then you've got our beginning, and we're this big old earth with darkness and void upon the face of our deep. We're meant to be filled, right? But we're empty, and we're void, and we're unformed. So that's our beginning. Okay. Well, God's beginning wants to meet our beginning in a certain way that brings eternity into earth. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that happens when we get in right relationship with the Word of God. It does. It happens when we get in right relationship with the Word of God. Now, you might say, well, right relationship with the Word of God is searching the Scriptures. Yes and no. No and yes. It all depends on the motive of our heart. It all depends on the motive of our heart. And that's where it gets fun, because that's where you move into relationship and you exit, you take the back door with the big exit sign out of the building called religion. You just run out of that building called religion and you run right into Jesus himself for a relationship with the person of Christ to fill your void and empty earth. Well, that's a heart that goes to the Word of God with the right purpose, to get filled up with God's beginning, the Son. Woo-wee, that's so fun. That's so wonderful. And that's where we're going here. So God said, listen, I am going to send them who? That big old earth that's empty and void with darkness on the face of its deep. I'm going to send them something to do what? Fill them. It's good to be filled, isn't it? That's what we were meant to be. That's the purpose of the whole earth, is to be filled with the Son. And so he sends his Son with this purpose, to fill the earth. Now, I said the wrong word. I said Son, and I should have said Word. He sent his Word to fill the earth. But what was his Word? His Son. So I'm confused. Is it the Word or is it the Son? Which one is it? Well, they should be the same, shouldn't they? Well, they should, but if the Bible represents Bible school classes, that's not the eternal Son that was with the Father. No. If the Word represents what I'm going to share at the conference, so I have a teaching, that's not the eternal Son that was with the Father, is it? The Word that the Father sent is his who? From the eternal beginning. He's sending his undefiled, untouched, pure, and out God's Son, right from the bosom. It says in John chapter 1 or 2, I think it's 1, straight out from the bosom of the Father, he's sending his Son. Kim knows that scripture well. He is sending his Son right out from his heart. God is sending that which was with him from the beginning and one with him to us, that we might be filled with him. By what? By knowing the Word in such a manner that we're filled. Oh, now we've left our depths here, haven't we? We've gone into untraversed territory by humans. The only person who's ever walked in these hills or mountains is a guy called the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? He's the only one. No humans ever walked in this country. No, sir. No, can't get in there. Can't figure it out. Can't breathe the air. Only the third person of the Godhead, who is part of God, knows the Son that's from the beginning. Oh, he has searched him out. It talks about it in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. He searched out his deep places that he might freely show them to us who love him. I mean, this area, this eternal Son that was in the beginning with the Father, the Holy Spirit knows it. Every little bitty part of him. He's loves him, and he loves to take us into the knowing of him in the specific way the Father sent him, to fill us up with life. Isn't it exciting once you get into their little fun game? This is their plan. This is the way they want. This is what got them excited, right? They didn't go, oh boy, let's raise up churches. Let's get all kinds of religious teachings out there, and we're going to have books, and we're going to have hymns, and we're going to have fun conferences, and then we're going to wrap it all up in glory and go to heaven. No, they said, listen, look at that. We created it. It's our handiwork, but it's empty, and there's darkness on the face of the deep. You got nothing on the inside, man. And look at us up here. I mean, we are fullness. I mean, we are full. I mean, the Word was with God and was God. I mean, we are life. This is eternal life, boys. You shall know eternal life between the Father and the Son. I mean, they got eternal life out. They are full. My Father's like, I'm going to share some of this with that empty earth down there that we created. So I'm going to send my Word. No, I'm going to send my Son, the one that was with me from the beginning, the Spirit and life of God, the Son, the exact expression and image, the outshining, the logos. I'm going to send him to them. that they might receive that perishing earth. I don't want to condemn them. I want to give them life. John 3:16. For God so loved this perishing earth, he gave his son, that they might have eternal life. You know, he didn't say just that they might get saved. He said that they might have life. Life. Life fills you up on the inside. It's not just a ticket out of hell. It fills you up, gives you life. So these guys are really good. They're wonderful. They're full of love, full of blessing to take us in to the wonder of who they are through the eternal word getting on the inside of us and filling that void and forming Christ in that void. And so the waters that were upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God goes to those and he begins to move on them. Remember that in Genesis? He begins to move on those waters. And God says what? Let there be light. And this is a picture of the earth in its darkness and in its unformedness and in its emptiness, taking the water of the word into itself, which is just basically scriptures. You remember the guys at the wedding of Canaan, right? Cana, Jesus' first miracle. They just pretty much poured water in their water pots, didn't they? Just basically poured water in there. And God said, let there be wine. And God said, let there be light. God changed it. And so, yes, there is a place for getting in the word just to fill up your water pot with scriptures. But God's going to move by his Spirit on those waters. And don't you want to wait for that to happen? Don't you want to never get satisfied with a water pot full of scriptures? You want to say, hey, Holy Spirit, start moving on those waters. I want to feel the movement of the Holy Spirit on the waters for one reason, for him to say, let there be the light of life. Let Christ be revealed in me. Let Jesus come up out of these waters. Let it be the sun in the inside. Now, here's something out of John, same chapter, same scripture, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I'm just going to read it to you. Chapter 1 of John, this is verses 31 through 33. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit ascending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I bore witness that this is the Son of God. So at one juncture, at one point in John the Baptist's ministry of baptizing people, Jesus himself came into those waters. And Jesus himself rose up out of those waters, and the dove said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Eventually, if you are faithful to continue in the word, eventually the Son of God is going to come up out of that, and the Father's going to reveal his Son out of those scriptures. Do you see what I'm saying? The water of the word of God, that just the basic scriptures represented by water are meant to bring forth the Son eventually. They're meant to be turned into wine. They're meant to be brought forth in the light of life. When the Spirit moved on the waters in Genesis 1, life came, light came. When the Spirit moved on the waters, when God moved on the waters at the wedding of Cana, it became wine. When Jesus came up out of the water of John the Baptist baptizing, the Son came forth. The Father said, that's in whom I'm well pleased. So we're faithful to get in the scriptures, but we never stop until the Spirit brings forth the eternal Son that gives life and fills us from that. Do you see the progression? Hallelujah. Okay. So we're kind of building this thing up of the word that we want. What we want and what we're establishing right now is we want the eternal word. We want the word that was from the beginning. We want the word that is the Son who was sent from the bosom of the Father to fill our empty, darkened hearts up with life. Amen? That's the word we want. We don't want another word. We don't want a word that's going to make us smart but leave us empty. We don't want a word that's going to give us a children's church lesson but we have a crabby attitude to the kids. We want the word that was with the Father, that is Spirit and life, and fills our empty earth with life and light and love and God's Son. That's the word we want. So what do? We seek that word. We cry out for that word. When we baptize, we don't stop until the Son comes out of the water. When we fill up our pots with water at the wedding feast, we don't wait. We don't stop until it is turned into the new wine of Christ in us. We don't stop until it is the Son. We set our heart on a holy determination, our head set like flint towards the purpose of knowing Him in life. And that is the Emmaus Road journey. Because those disciples said, we're not going to stop until we know that we are functioning as the very body of His resurrection, where He now dwells. That won't happen until the Word becomes flesh in us, until the eternal Word finds residence in His body, the body that is now one with Him in resurrection. So we have to, for the heart of Jesus' sake, for the purpose of who we now are in resurrection, seek the Lord in the right manner. We have to set our course on the Son filling us. But that is part of this journey. That is part of this journey, and that's an exciting part. So let's look at this little lady in John. Interesting, same chapter, or same book of the Bible, John chapter 4. And this is verses 6 through 29. Now, you don't have to go there, but it's just the story of the woman at the well. And of course, Jesus comes up to her, and we all know the story, or most of us do, where he says, you know, I know that, or he says, I'm thirsty, would you give me a drink? And she's like, well, where's your bucket? You know, this well's pretty deep, on and on. And he eventually says, if you ask me, if you knew who I was, you would never thirst again. I would be in you a well of living water. Now remember, this is still the Gospel of John. The person walking up to the Samaritan woman at the well is the Word that was from the beginning, sent of the Father. This isn't just Jesus, the Messiah, the teacher, the master, walking up on a day out with his disciples on miracle cruise. This is the eternal Word sent from the Father in chapter 4, the same one that was in chapter 1, verse 1. This is the Word. This is the eternal Son. And he walks up to this woman at her well, and she's trying to get life. She's trying to quench that thirst from something outside of her. And she's been trying it for a long time with a lot of different things. In fact, she had four husbands, and is on her fifth relationship. Okay, so she's looking everywhere for fullness, something that will quench that inward thirst. And Jesus met her. Jesus who? The eternal Word. The Word that was sent to fill empty earth with life. And he said to her, listen, if you knew who I was, you would never thirst again. I will be in you a well of living waters. And this woman heard that when she heard Jesus say he was the Word from the beginning who was sent to fill the empty void earth, the deepest places of us up in such a manner that we would become a well. We would never have to look outside of union with Christ again for life. She heard it. She heard it. I want to read something to you. We think, well, that's just her. That's just a good story in the Bible. But we go to church. We hear the scripture. We hear sermons. We hear something from the Word of God. We read a book. But we don't leave our water pot. We don't drop everything that we were using to fill us, every source, every wild vine, and say, I met the eternal Word of God. He's going to be rivers of living water in me and run out and tell the whole neighborhood. I will never thirst again. I just encountered not a good sermon from Pastor Ben. I encountered the Word that was from the beginning, sent from the Father to me to be a well of living waters in me, and I will never thirst again. Hallelujah. Her earth was filled. Her eternal purpose for being created was just performed. Isn't that cool? May I say this? This woman was beginning to have a right relationship with the Word of God. She was on the right track in her quiet times. Hallelujah. You know? Oh, praise the Lord. I remember, I shouldn't probably say this, and I apologize even beforehand, but I remember when I first met the Lord when I was in college. I was in a music department at a university. And I really had never heard the gospel before, and so it just astounded me. I mean, honestly, lads, it astounded me when I found out that I was created to be filled with Jesus. I mean, it really, when I heard that Christ wanted to live in me, and you know, I had no knowledge, no maturity, no polish, no, you know, fruit of the Spirit at work in me whatsoever. But I did hear the gospel, and I remember sitting there dumbstruck going, well, well, then why continue in college? And I immediately got out of my dorm room, ran to the professors at the university that were in my classes. I said, I figured out why we're on planet Earth. I mean it. I'm telling you, I really did. Jesus wants to live in us. That's why we're here. I know. I'm telling you, I went and I told my professors this. I said, I'm serious. I know why we're on the planet. Let's do something about it. I was just dumbstruck. I was just like, well, I figured it out. I figured out why humans are on planet Earth. What are we going to do now? Where do you go from here? And the Lord said, well, you go to Bible school and let Jesus grow in you so you have a little maturity. Some fruit of the Spirit coming out of you, you know. But I just remember that Eureka moment where I just went, wait a second. This is it. This is it. This is it. There's not going to be another answer. And it's for everybody. And of course, I did not get very happy responses. I got called a few things that I can't mention now, straight to my face. Yeah, they were not excited about my zeal. And of course, I was, you know, just ridiculous. I had no maturity at all, just a lot of zeal and very little, nothing else. But the truth was still the truth. You know, this woman said, why should I come back to this well? My Lord, I have met the one who's going to be in me, a well of, I am going to be filled without any rivers of living water unto eternal life. It's not going to stop. Well, that's the way. When you encounter the word that was from the eternities of God from the beginning, that's your response. You are filled. You are changed.
It's 1 John 1.
Go ahead.
It says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's a word there I just wanted to... I looked up one of the definitions of it, where it says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. And that have handled... Do you mind if I just read the...
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a couple of different ones in here, but it says feel after, handle, touch. The one that I really liked was to lay hold of and to touch by way of inquiry.
Oh,
yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's good. Somebody who's coming to the word as they should. And if John did that, didn't he?
He did that.
Yes.
The fruition of.
That's right. Excellent. That is a very pertinent, good scripture to bring up. Yeah, very well, very good. Okay, now, John chapter 5, let's go there. We're going to get fun now. Now it's getting exciting. I know it's been boring up to this point, and well, we're going to have fun now. We're going to go to the pool of Bethesda. Now, around the Bethesda. Now, around the temple in Jerusalem, back in the day when Jesus was walking around as Jesus of Nazareth, there were different pools around the temple, okay? And these pools represented different things, okay? Now, what does water represent in the Word of God? We just talked about it. Let's see who is listening. It does, but in specific relation to what we've been discussing, water, like in the pots at Cana, like on the face of the deep, the word, or the scriptures, right? And that's important because that's throughout the word that is a true type and shadow or a representation in many cases. But so these pools around the temple represent different relationships with the word of God. How cool, huh? Okay, and the pool of Bethesda represents a certain relationship we can all have with the Word of God. Let's read it. John chapter 5, let's start with 1 through 3. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is by Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered. What are they doing? Waiting for the moving of the water. We talked about waiting for the moving of the water, didn't we? Okay. So let's go to a pretend scenario here. We are at the Bethesda church service. We'll call it a church service, okay? Do you guys know where I'm going? All right. All the people here that Pastor Bob, the international preacher Bob, is coming to our church this Sunday. I don't know how. It's a miracle that he would come to our little church, but Bob's coming, okay? And everybody's coming to see and hear Pastor Bob preach, okay? And the people are waiting for the water of the word to move through the minister. Now, an angel would stir the waters at Bethesda. Did we read that yet? But an angel, and we'll go there. They're waiting for the water of the word to move through the minister. We'll stop there at our Bethesda church service, and we'll go to the scriptures again for a moment, verses 4 through 8, just to read a little more context before we continue. Starting with verse 4, an angel went down at a certain season and went into the pool and troubled the water. Angel also means minister or a messenger, okay? All right, so an angel or a minister or a messenger went down at a certain season and went into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water step in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there that had a certain infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the waters trouble to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed," yes, "and walk." He's coming through the back door right now. But, okay, so we're talking about the pool of Bethesda church service. Okay? And Preacher Bob has come, the international famous guy, and he's going to stir those waters like nobody's ever stirred them before, okay? And people are gathering to that conference, that nightly session, to be there when the water's stirred, and they have a motivation in their heart. It's the Church of Bethesda, so what do you think their motivation is once Preacher Bob starts preaching it, preaching the word, stirring the water of the word? Well, a great multitude of impotent folk, they want to be touched. They want to be healed. They want to be the first one in to get a touch of the power and anointing of the stirred up Word of God. Have you ever been to that? Ooh, I'm going to go where the preaching is so good and the Word is so powerful and the minister can really stir that water. I mean, when he preaches Christ and him crucified, those waters are like the Jordan swelling up on the banks. I mean, I can see the glory. I can feel the glory. If I get close enough, maybe I'll get the glory, right? And we want to get there so that we can have life in the sense of just be touched. Touch me, Lord. Touch my condition. I need to receive something from the stirred up water, right? That's the pool of Bethesda water. That's the relationship with the Word of God that this pool represents. All right, and so Jesus sees this guy that's been there 38 years, I think it, 38 years. And every time the messenger comes and stirs the water, someone else gets there first. Oh, you know, Pastor Bob's coming up to lay hands on whoever. And there's always someone faster than this guy. And he gets the prayer. He gets the touch. He gets the healing. He gets the anointing, whatever it might be. And he's just so broken down with trying to get something from this relationship with the Word. So who walks up to him 38 years into this frustration. Don't say Jesus. Say the word that was from the beginning, sent from the Father to fill men with life. Because that's who walked up to the man at the pool of Bethesda. And he walked up to him and he didn't say, quick run, I'll throw you in, we'll get there. I'm the Son of God, I'm like a superhero, I can just fly over the crowd, throw you in the water, you know? He said, no, this isn't the relationship I came to give you, to touch you, to just stir you, to just move you for a moment in time. The word that was sent from the Father out of eternity, the Son that was sent to fill every man with life, looked at that man and what did he say? Rise up, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah! Because when he comes into town, it ain't about the stirring of the water that touches us for a while or inspires us or heals us or does something to us temporarily. When the eternal word comes on the scene, resurrection happens, and we are filled with life, and we take up that thing that's been holding us down to the earth for 38 years, we pick it up, and we walk right out of that thing in newness of life with the risen Son on the inside. Hallelujah. That's what happens when you get in the right relationship with the eternal word of God. You leave the pool of Bethesda, your old relationship with the scriptures, waiting for someone to share something so deep out of that word that the waters stir so much that you're touched. Do you see what I'm saying? If I go to church on Sunday, maybe Pastor Bob will stir the waters so much that I'll get touched and something in my walk will be better. Jesus says, no. Don't you come to church with that motivation. Don't you come to church like you're going to the pool of Bethesda to get touched. You go and be like that Samaritan. You look for the eternal word to fill you, and you leave that place raised up from the dead. Jesus said, he who hears the dead shall hear my voice and be touched. No. In John, the eternal word said, the dead shall hear the voice of the word that was with God and the word that is the beginning and the fullness and live. Rise up and walk. Do you see the difference? Which relationship do you want to have with your Bible? A pool of Bethesda relationship or a relationship with the eternal Son that will fill you with resurrection? You will leave that pool to be in heavenly places in union with him. Isn't that good? Yes, what we were created for. Rise up. And immediately he was made whole. We're made whole. Why are we made whole? Because we were created to not be empty but filled. Wholeness is when we come into union with Christ, when he fills us with his life. Until then, we may be inspired, anointed, gifted, ministered, but we're still not whole. Until resurrection fills us. And that only happens when we come into the right relationship with the eternal word of God that was sent to fill us with life. It's so good, isn't it? And it's just simple, isn't it? It's not all heady stuff that you have to go to a school of theology to figure out. It's the simple heart of God for mankind, laid out in his scriptures. The dead shall hear and live. They'll be quickened by life. They're raised up. They pick up their beds. They have a whole new walk. Okay. There's a lot of other scriptures. There's a lot of other relationships or pools that we can go to. What I mean is we can go to our scriptures as a pool of comfort. I am so freaked out. I'm going to go to the pool of comfort, pick up your Bible, and I'm just going to read the Psalms until I feel better. No, your Bible is not a pool of comfort. Your Bible is where the eternal Son is going to fill you with his life. Well, I am confused, and I need answers. So I'm going to go to the pool of guidance. Don't go to the pool of guidance. The Lamb is the light. Well, I think I need a pool of deliverance from my problems. Now, I'm going to use my Bible as a pool of deliverance today. Your Bible is not the rotunda of pools. You know, the spindle of, let's choose today. Today, the Bible will become to me quips of comfort. Answers of guidance, ways of deliverance. Your Bible is meant to be the place where the Son of God fills you with his life. Don't go to another pool. Slap your hand when you want to do this. No, we don't use the Word of God for anything else than to know the Son who fills all things with life. Isn't that good? Well, that's the relationship the Emmaus Road guys had to have. They had to make a determination to not just gain something from the Word that touched them, but to stay with the Word until they were in a communion with the risen Son that filled them with his life so much so that he could disappear because he had appeared in them. Their earth was filled. Remember, when he disappeared, it happened because they had come into such a right relationship with the risen Son that now his life was in them. The Word was filling that empty void earth, and now he was appearing on the inside of them. He didn't need to have to be out there. He had filled them. He was in his body, his risen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Okay, so here's our last thing. We're doing good, and we just say thank you, Holy Spirit, because we're covering a lot of ground quickly. But let's just look one more at John chapter 9, and this is a really, 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 really good example of a man being brought into the seeing of Jesus by having a right relationship with the Word of God. Honestly, we could go on in this particular area for a long, long time. So there's a lot to be said here, and that could be said here. But isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit is the one who says all these things? We plant the seeds, and he brings out the fullness of what's in his heart. So let's look at John chapter 9. And before we really read those scriptures, I'm just going to lay a few precedents as a reminder of what we have been sharing that will help clarify the intent of what I'm going to share and the purpose behind it. We have said that the earth in the beginning was without form and that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. So darkness isn't the lack of sunshine as spoken of in Genesis. It's that it's empty on the inside. In other words, blindness equals emptiness. We think blindness equals I don't see things in the Word. I haven't had illumination in the scriptures today. I didn't read something in the Word and see something great, so I feel very blind. Well, you can see a whole bunch of stuff in the Word until your eyes are popping out and your brains are leaking scriptures. And you can still be blind according to this equation of what blindness is, because you can be still empty and unformed on the inside. Blindness is that darkness is upon the face of the deep and it's void of life. It's without form. So we need light that will come and fill and form that empty void where Christ is not yet formed in us and revealed in us as life that motivates us by his nature. We have to be specific because Adam is very good at squeezing out of really bringing forth the nature of Jesus. You know, he will find a way to sanctify his flesh at any cost, and it's the tendency of the old man. It's just that old nature. Okay, so John chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 really quickly here. And as Jesus passed by, okay, we're still in the Gospel of John, so what Jesus is this? The Word. Yes, the eternal Word, thank you. And as the eternal Word that was with the Father that was sent to be the Son that fills everything with life passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. What are the works of him that sent the Word? I'll just tell you. The works of him, the eternal Word, of him that sent him, what the Father sent him to fill, give eternal life. So his work is to fill the empty earth with life. Okay. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. Hallelujah. Then he went in his way and washed, and the man came back seeing. Okay, so there's two things that are prescribed here for helping someone see Jesus or to cure blindness. Two things that I can find. One, Jesus took cakes of earth and put them over his eye sockets. That's an interesting choice. Two, he told him to wash in a specific pool. Notice, he didn't say go wash in the pool of Bethesda. I wonder why. Not really. Because that would... Yeah, there you go. Okay. So he tells him to go wash in a specific pool, wash the cakes of dirt out of his eyes. Okay, let's look at the cakes of earth. Many times we feel our blindness comes from the obstacles in our lives that cause us and block us from seeing Jesus. They hinder us from knowing the Lord. But Jesus, rather than clearing up our earth issues for us, stuffs them up in our face until we are completely blocked and suffocated with them. Okay, now that is not the wisdom of man, is it? Lord, this area is making me feel blind. This area is making me feel like I cannot get to you. I cannot see you. Every time I'm in this situation, I see, you know, that person or that circumstance is driving me crazy. And you keep making it get worse and worse and worse until it's like cakes of dirt over my eyes. It's all over me. I can't see. It's the only thing in my face all the day long. And the more it's in my face, the more I feel these frustrations and anger and bad attitudes rising. And, oh, Lord, it finally gets so bad that you go, Lord, the dirt isn't the problem. All the stuff that's rising up in me is the problem. My blindness isn't coming from my eyes. It's coming from my heart. I am void of your life. I could see Jesus in the scripture all day, but this situation is suffocating me from even doing that to the point where all I see are my reactions and motivations. And that's making me realize that I'm really blind because I don't see Jesus living in me. I see anger and frustration and a lot of ugly things rising up because this dirt is bringing them all to the surface. And the Lord says, well, now you're ready for the eternal word that was meant to fill you on the inside. He said, before those cakes of earth came, you were ready to just get a bunch of scriptures and put them on your hat like a big old head with flowers, like a big old trophy hat with flowers on it. Not realizing that your earth was all empty on the inside and void and dark and no Christ was living there. But when those cakes of dirt came and they got right up in there where you couldn't see nothing but the problems, you saw that the blindness was coming from the inside, not the outside. And you were ready to be healed. You were ready to go to the right pool. Now, who knows? Some of us may take those cakes of earth that are over our eyes and we go like this. Someone take me to the pool of Bethesda. Someone get me there while the angel's there and the water's stirring. Pour me, dump me in the water so I can get this situation taken care of. See? See the motivation there? I just want to get rid of this problem in my life, Lord. Take me to the Word of God when the water's being stirred and the anointing's moving so that God can touch me and make my life in this earth better, Lord, and keep me blind on the inside but make me feel better on the outside. No, that person isn't ready for the eternal Word that the Father sent. No. So Jesus put this on the bottom half of the instruction. Go to the pool of Siloam. And that pool means sent. Who was sent from the bosom of the Father to give us eternal life? Could it be the eternal Son? Yes. The Word that was from the beginning was with God? Was God? Yes. He goes, so I want you to go in that pool, and I want you to apply the eternal Son to all those problems and wash everything away by him. And when you wash those things with him who's meant to be your life, him who is spirit and nature, and you're going to be filled. You're not just going to be healed. Dirt isn't just going to be removed. Deliverance isn't just going to come. Counsel and answers and comforting quips aren't going to be yours forever. The Son is going to give you life, and that life is going to open your eyes to see Jesus and to walk. And God said, number one, I define blindness, that the whole earth is blind. Why? Because it's empty of the life of the Son that the Father sent to fill it. So everybody's blind, but nobody knows it because they think they see with these eyes. So I'll let things happen so they can see that these eyes don't see. This place isn't full. And when they get good and blind, good and awakened to the reality that they are empty and unformed on the inside and they need to see something more than a quick touch or answer from the scriptures, but they need to have the life of the Son fill them and raise them up from the dead and give them life from God, life, God's life, eternal life. When they're ready for that, then I'll send them to the pool of Siloam. I'll unveil my Son in them. And when they wash in that water, Jesus is going to come up and fill them from the inside out. The day star is going to dawn in their hearts, and Jesus is going to, God's going to say, let there be light, and the Spirit's going to move on that water and that specific eternal Son word, and the inward parts of their heart are going to be formed and filled, and the light of life is going to come, and they aren't going to be blind anymore because Jesus is going to be their life. Now that's seeing. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, open the eyes of their understanding that they might know the hope. Christ in you is the hope. The eyes of our understanding are the ones in here, the ones that are meant to partake of the eternal word and see that this life was meant to fill me. I was created to be possessed in the inward parts. I was created to be a habitation for the eternal word, the word that is the Son, the word that is life, the word that was from the beginning, the word the Father sent expressly to give life to a dying and sick and empty world. Hallelujah. So God says, come to the pool of Siloam. Wash in these waters. All that dirt is only meant to drive you to me. Don't go to the pool of Bethesda today. Don't cheat yourself from getting a well put inside of you instead of a cup of water given to you. If you come to the right one, the eternal word, he will be in you a well. You won't have to worry anymore because he's going to be in you a well. If you go to the scriptures to see the risen Son in his body, which you are, oh, you don't have to go to church for a new cup of inspiration every Sunday. You will be filled with the life of Jesus every day. Why? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he put his life in us in that way. That's the way the risen body of the Son is meant to function. Filled with his life. The new man isn't meant to be blind or empty, but filled with the Son in resurrected oneness. And when we go to our scriptures in the right way, we can partake of the true wonder of being raised up with Christ Jesus as his body. And that is the purpose of this journey. So may we be inspired like never before in our lives to go to the Word of God to find Jesus in this way. Amen. Should we just pray? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Because the things we are speaking of are the counsels that came out of God before this earth, or we as humans were ever formed. This comes out of the goodness of your heart, the pure love to share life with those who don't deserve it, to bring us into the wonder of being partakers of the divine nature. This is something, Lord, that you purposed out of great mercies, great love. And, oh, Lord, we do not want to forsake our own mercies, but we find them, Lord, encompassing us as we turn from our old methods of seeking you, of relying upon you, of using the scriptures to help us in our earth life, to find the scriptures as the vehicle to bring us into being the body of your Son's life, and to letting that actually come to pass in us, to be fulfilled in us, as we become filled with the eternal word who is the Son. Lord, just let the Holy Spirit just be released within and upon each one here in a new measure to draw them to know you, to guide them into this relationship, that they can partake of you in a way that will bring forth your life in them, that will bring out broken bread and poured out wine in a corporate body, and the things that your resurrection really emanates out. The true reality of the Son who has many members. Father, seal this by your Spirit. Minister to the listeners. Lord, if I was too silly or some of my facts weren't totally correct, may they pray for me. Father, may they just cover me with their prayers, for I truly love you and want you. And I ask that even in my weakness, even in my lack, Father, that your Spirit could use even a donkey, Lord, even a fool, someone who's just needy, to bring someone closer to you by your grace. So just have your way, Lord. We love you. We want you. We're here because we're yours. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.